Alex Wiles, thanks.
Thank you for having me, Don.
When did you first meet Jim Work?
I first met Jim as a newly minted board member of Virginia Voice. I was actually an advisor to the board. They were sort of testing me out for a year or so, and they were in the process of finding Jim, as it turned out. You know, I wasn't involved in the interview process for the position or anything, but, you know, when they finally landed on this guy, Jim Work, I went, oh, okay, that sounds great.
Yeah.
And I worked with someone who had previously worked with him at Style, and she had heard the news that he was coming to Virginia Voice, and she knew that I was involved, and she just said, oh, you're going to love him, and immediately started regaling me with all the stories of their days at Style Weekly together. And it was, I thought, okay, this guy sounds like a lot of fun and a really good person, and both of those things turned out to be very true. So I think I probably met him for the first time at whatever first board meeting it was that he was at.
Yeah. talk about his personality. It's kind of hard to describe for people just how much he would change a room.
Oh my
when
gosh,
he entered it.
He'd light it up.
Yeah.
I mean, I have been involved in nonprofits in one way or another for probably, I don't know, 2 decades now, and board meetings are that word. Just can bring a lot of dread into a person's soul.
Yes. Right.
For no matter what you're coming to it as, whether it's as an employee or a board member. And I looked forward to those meetings because there was an ebullience, a joy, a real intentionality, so much intelligence. But he would, you know, very quickly play that off with a self-deprecating joke. But just a brilliance, a warmth. Wanting everyone to really be included, just a generosity of spirit, I think, is really, to me, what Jim was all about. You know, he wanted to share. He wanted people to feel like they were important. And he wanted to, I don't know, really uplift people to help them see what they did have to offer as opposed to what they might have felt as a shortcoming.
Right. When did you first become aware of his musical prowess?
Oh, gosh. Probably at one of those board meetings. And unfortunately, I mean, I've only known him for, I guess, a couple years. And due to schedules and whatnot, I never got to hear him play live. And that will forever be a regret of
mine.
I'll
send you some YouTube links.
I've seen a couple, and I want so many more. But, you know, he'd say, oh, yeah, I'm playing a concert this week. And, you know... And so I knew that music was a huge part of his life, and I knew that he was, I mean, between the folk festival and the six bands he played in and all of that, I knew it was a huge part of who he was. And that was another way we really did connect, because I'm a sometimes actor, not so much anymore, but he would, you know, turn to me in a meeting and he'd be like, well, you know, as an artist, you know, and I'm like, I've done like 6 plays. Like, I'm not an artist. I'm an amateur, but thank you for making me feel like one. So he would connect on that creative level across format. You know, he was a rock and roll musician and I love Shakespeare, but whatever. Yeah. There was a simpatico kind of feeling of, oh, you know what it's like to be on stage and how you have to work the room and And it was so just intrinsically part of him. And there was that showman to Jim a little bit, but always so earnest. You know, it wasn't a grandstanding, a showboating. It was just, that was who he was.
Yeah. It never came at your expense.
No. Oh, no. Only ever at his, if anybody's.
Yeah, right. talk a little bit about just everyday working with him.
I mean, super easy, super positive. You know, everything was, even if we were in a tough spot trying to figure out how to crack some problem, it was always with the long term in sight, always with the future in sight, always with an optimism that this is temporary, we're going to figure it out, and it's going to make whatever it is even better. So it made it very easy to work with him. I like to think that that's kind of my worldview as well. But to work with somebody in a leadership position who really holds true to that and enables that viewpoint for others, I think is really – it's part of his legacy.
Yeah. And I wanted you to talk about the live audio description.
Yeah.
Because he was such a salesman for that. I mean, he just loved the idea. He loved to tell people about it, even if you couldn't help the program out at all. He loved to tell you about it. Yep. So speak to that a little bit, this enthusiasm for those kind of sort of necessary projects.
Absolutely. Well, it was, you know, when I joined the organization as a board member, I confess, I didn't know much about it. I was really there as, well, somebody at work said that we should be in partnership because we have this business relationship, and tag, you're it. Mm-hmm. And I said, I would love to be engaged in this way. I'm happy to learn. I'm happy to help however I can. But I was like, okay, well, short of reading on air, I'm not sure what else I can do. I mm-hmm. can give of my time as a board member. I can give of what resources I have financially, but I'm not sure where else to plug in. And Jim and our then director of development, Jennifer Cunningham, went to a conference and had learned about live audio description and came back and shared this article about it. I had just seen something about it on the national news, another mm-hmm. station that did something like this. And we were at a board meeting and the idea came up, and I felt like, you know, Hermione Granger in the classroom. My hand just shot up and I said, I can help with that. And Jim kind of looked at me and went, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
And so it was, you know, Jim was really the cheerleader for it. I mean, without his support, without the support of a CEO, a new program like that doesn't happen, mm-hmm. Especially in a small organization where resources are limited. And he just dove in. He sent us to Raleigh. We got trained. We came back. We had all the ideas and we just set about making it happen.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like there should be more story to that, but it did. We said, we know who we want to work with. We're going to go meet with them. And things just started to click. Jim was very generous, though. He referred to me and my other co-describer, Katie Hennekins. We were the original two.
Right.
And he would refer to us as the founding mothers of live audio description in Richmond. And he's very generous in that regard because if it hadn't been for him, none of it would have happened anyway.
Right.
But that's also who he was. He was always ready to build someone up, to give them credit for their contributions. And, you know, it took somebody who, like me, who felt like, I don't really know what I have to offer here, and empowered them to mm-hmm. hopefully really make a meaningful difference.
Yeah. How important is it to have people like that? the reason I ask is there's really not a whole lot of people like that. The people who are able to sort of see a big picture and bring different people together. That's a real unique skill.
Oh, my gosh. And I mean, I think as sad and as devastating as the past couple weeks have been, what is amazing is to see how connected Jim was to the community, how deep those roots go, not just broad, but deep. I mean, there is a extensive, deep love for this person. And I am so privileged that even for a short period of time, I got to be a part of that constellation. And I think that level of connectivity is indicative of someone who is always thinking about, well, how can I take this talent and this person and this opportunity and unite them. I think it's a trait that is more common in the creative type. So probably his life as a musician is part of that, because you're thinking about how do
it's
all of these
so
things.
It's not so common in the creative types either.
That's true. That true collaborative nature.
Mm-hmm. The unselfish collaborative nature.
Yes. And that is rare. I think there are, you know, in leadership positions, there can be ego, or there can be fear, when you have that responsibility of, well, let's only do what works. You know, you don't want to try something that's
before.
New. Right.
Yeah.
Right. And the status quo was never good enough. I mean, from the moment this program started, it was about how do we grow it? How do we make it better? Mm-hmm. How do we get the word out? How do we connect more people through this? You know, the latest conversations were about how do we take what training we've developed and offer that throughout the state so that organizations that we might not be able to directly serve can still benefit from what we've learned, what we've developed, mm-hmm. the best practices around live audio description so that more people can benefit from it. I mean, we've been getting calls from you know, arts facilities 4 or 6 hours away, and we'd love to be able to do those things. But yeah. Jim had the foresight of going, you know what, this is something that could be good for Virginia Voice, but it also is something that needs to expand beyond us. And if we're not the ones directly doing it mm-hmm. after a certain point, because it's grown so much,
yeah.
then the only thing better than that is a day when nobody needs it at all.
Right. Jim's passing will obviously leave a void,
yeah.
many voids. How do we fill those voids? How can we move on from here?
I think in the short term, it's going to take each of us involved in the many things he cared about to step up and do a little more. I'm trying to live up to that goal here at Virginia Voice. And I think it takes a reevaluation of your perspective.
Hmm.
You know, to see things in such a networked, global way, and to have that future focus, to be able to deal with the present moment, but also have an eye towards where are we going, why is this important,
right.
that sense of purpose. You know, I like to think that good people tend to surround themselves with other good people. So I think in some ways that will not be that hard. I think his passing just gives us further impetus to do more of that and to reach out to each other and to look for those opportunities to collaborate in that unselfish way.
Yeah, he planted a lot of seeds.
Absolutely.
Any final thoughts? Any more memories to share?
I am probably a little bit more of an emotional person. And I'll never forget the first time we did, it was our first live audio described performance, and we were doing a tactile tour. And Jim and Katie and I were all kind of hanging back, letting the patrons have that experience with the actors. You know, they're touching costumes, they're touching the actors' faces. And I started to well up because it was just such a beautiful moment.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim is just sort of like, Alex, and then he's welling up too. So we were very much, you know, we got each other in that way. And he was always okay with me being myself. Mm-hmm. And I see that with so many people that he touched, that he, wherever you were, whoever you were, whatever you're dealing with, that was okay by him. Yeah. And what gifts do you have to offer that maybe you didn't even know you had?
Alex Wallace, thank you.
Thank you, Don.